This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. So today we're going to talk about being unreasonable when it comes to the pursuit of your passions and your dreams and making them a reality in your life. Doing meaningful work, stuff that matters to you. So really cool book that this idea was inspired by today. Book written by Katie Couric, the journalist, called The Best Advice I Ever Got. And basically in the book, it's a really neat book, by the way, where she talks to people from all walks of life, from the entertainment industry to education to business. And, you know, she asks them for advice. Just share a story with me about how you achieved success in your life. So she talked to really, really just people from literally all walks of life, from colleagues of hers like Barbara Walters to musicians like Alicia Keys to rapists like Bill Cosby. And so the one I want to share with you today in this episode is a story that really stood out to me from a guy named Matt Goldman. You might not recognize the name, but you'll definitely recognize his group or his business, his organization. It's called the Blue Man Group. He's one of the co-founders. So let me dive into this because it's a really cool little story and I really, really like it. I really think you'll like it as well and you'll find it inspiring. So in the late 80s, Phil Stanton, Chris Wink, and I dreamed up a crazy idea for a show called The Blue Man Group. We took to the stage in New York in 1987, appearing as a trio with cobalt blue skin and plain black clothes who had no ears, no hair, and did not speak. From the start, Blue Man was often misunderstood. All he wants to do is connect. He wants to connect with his fellow blue men on stage, with his audience, with everyone and everything around him. When an audience member comes into the theater and sees this strange being, bald and blue, for the first time, the natural reaction is to think he's someone strange or alien. But a third of the way through the performance, the audience realizes, I'm actually watching myself, someone very human. Blue is not a mask that we put on. It's about what has to be taken off. Once you take away hairstyle and skin tone, ethnicity, gender, and fashion, all those things that get us through our daily lives, what you're left with is the thing that is essentially human in all of us. I think that is why Blue Man has endured over the years. It allows us to look at ourselves with fresh eyes. The first time Chris, Phil, and I went bald and blue, and looked in the mirror and at one another, if at that very moment I had said out loud, we're going to make a living at this, someone would have carted me off to a padded cell. If at the first time we went bald and blue, I thought, I'm going to make a living at this and play 10,000 shows in New York City and an additional 25,000 shows on five continents, if I'd said we would collaborate with artists like Moby, Dave Matthews, and the Kodo Drummers, if I'd said to myself, yeah, we're going to sell out Lincoln Center and perform at a football stadium in front of 85,000 people, if we'd imagined we were going to be nominated for a Grammy Award and perform live at the Grammys to a standing ovation at the Staples Center, if I told you that all three of us would meet our wives at the show, that we'd get audience members to donate a few bucks at a time, adding up to $3 million to help families with AIDS, If I told you that we would go to the nation's capital and lobby senators and congressmen to fund music and arts education in the public school system, if I told you, if I predicted that we would start an elementary school and sit on a panel discussing creativity with two Nobel Prize laureates, a British knight, a psychologist, and the Dalai Lama himself, if we had said all that the first time we went bald and blue, they'd have thrown us into the padded cell and tossed away the key. But that is what happened. That's what happened, even though a lot of people, smart people, good-willed people, even loved ones and relatives, said that we were crazy. It's not reasonable. It's weird, they'd say. People won't get it. It's too smart. It's too childish. It's too strange. That's not enough humor. There's too much humor. It's too long. It's too short. You get the picture. We heard all the reasons why it was not going to work. But guess what? It did. I wanted to be crazy, and I advise you to be crazy, to be weird, to be unreasonable. That's my favorite one. People are always saying, oh, come on, be reasonable. And I want to shout out, no, I don't want to be reasonable. I want to be completely unreasonable. I want to change the world. I want to be creative. I want to change the world creatively. And I want other people to be unreasonable with me. Man, don't you love that? You know, so the key lesson here, the key idea, and how you can maybe make it actionable in your own life, if you find this inspiring, is to basically take away the lesson of, you know what, don't listen to the advice of other people who tell you what you can't do. Instead, why not find some good advisors, trusted advisors who you respect and trust and care about, and listen to them, people who you respect and find inspiring, maybe people that you want to follow in their footsteps and be like, rather than just listening to anybody's advice and letting it affect you, right? And then integrate what they are telling you with your own thinking and really listen to yourself as you combine those two forms of advice, the advice that you get from other people and the advice that you're giving yourself, the self-talk, and really listen to yourself, right? Listen to your voice, your own learning, your gut instinct, and then take action from there. It's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbakari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.